You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, in this fourth week of August 2025. Thank you for joining me on the report, a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties and freedom of conscience. The church is called to be the moral, the cultural conscience of the nation. Believers can't just stay on the sidelines and let the culture do its own thing. We're called for such a time as this. The Religious Liberty Report, hoping to help equip you with tools to take your faith to the culture, so that you may better understand and articulate your Christian worldview in a way that is courteous, kind, yet bold and uncompromising, committed to God's Word as your guide. The idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. The goal is to hold strong to our faith, despite the circumstances. Hold strong to your faith, despite the circumstances. We're also called to exhibit grace, knowing that faith, religion are often sources of controversy. Debates can be particularly fierce. As we address the many issues of our faith, the proper relationship between church and state, we must do so without sacrificing grace and compassion for the world. As we fight for our faith, fighting the good fight, we must not sacrifice our Christian testimony, gentle as doves. Brothers and sisters, we can discuss the issues without sacrificing love. Let us guard against becoming combative, but at the same time, God's Word tells us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Are you prepared to give that answer? Do you feel confident and comfortable sharing your faith? If the answer is no, or I'm just not sure, well, we're here to help. Because Scripture exhorts us to contend for the faith. Today, there is a vast political, social movement that believes that the Christian worldview is outdated and wrong. But we know that faith is not just something reserved for Sundays. It affects every facet of our lives. It is fundamental to who we are. And as citizens and residents of this great land, we know that the Constitution protects our freedom to live and work consistently with our faith. The church is continually confronted with the collision of two core American values: the freedom of religion and the freedom from discrimination on account of any pretext or ground. And we've seen a showdown of sorts in legislatures and courtrooms and the public square and the media. Religious liberty is often contrasted with non-discrimination or equality before the law. One commentator put it this way: non-discrimination is a great American principle, a core American principle, as is religious freedom. And when you have two important American principles coming into tension, into conflict with one another, our goal as Americans is to sit down and try to see if we can uphold both. The clashing worldviews of religious freedom and non-discrimination. No freedom is absolute, even religious freedom. For example, one should never use religion as an excuse for bigotry, racism, oppressing others, or simply having an arrogant spirit, or just being mean, hurtful. And religious freedom as a principle needs to be for all, not just a tool of politics or social engineering. We must enforce religious freedom for all. It's axiomatic, as they say. It's a basic rule that in large measure, non-discrimination is crucial to religious freedom. That means that equal treatment for all faiths, out of the principle that discriminating against one religion could threaten them all. It's a double-edged sword. Religious freedom is for all of us, or it's for none of us. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report in this fourth week of August 2025, reporting on religious freedom. And that no freedom is absolute, even religious freedom. Religious freedom, a founding principle of our nation, enshrined in our Constitution. Religious freedom, the first freedom of the United States. And first, not just because it's the First Amendment, but because it's a logical priority. Without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Some call it soul freedom. It goes something like this: I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend your right to say it. Some attribute this to Evelyn Beatrice Hall. I do not agree with what you have to say, but I'll defend to the death your right to say it. Soul freedom for everyone. And this is where we get our First Amendment. The First Amendment both prevents the government of the United States from privileging one religion over another and protects each and every one of us as American citizens to believe whatever we choose or choose not to believe, about what God thinks, what God approves of, what God blesses. Religious freedom. Religious freedom is also not guaranteed. Contrary to what we read in the U.S. Constitution, U.S. laws, religious liberty is not guaranteed. Even though it's enshrined in the First Amendment, religious liberty in the United States and abroad are under assault. There's a vast political, social movement that thinks that the Christian worldview is outdated, wrong, discriminatory, bigoted, and worse. In the face of this, at the same time, for many of us believers, God has given each of us a ministry for which we are responsible, whether our ministry is to pastor a church or simply minister to family and friends. We need to have the tools to protect our ministry and stay on message, stay on mission. Turning to page 2 of the Religious Liberty Report, in this fourth week of August 2025, raising alarms about the dangers of uncontrolled, unregulated artificial intelligence. More and more commentators are warning about the existential threat that they believe AI, artificial intelligence, poses to humanity. CEOs, theorists, scientists, philosophers, commenting on what they call an existential threat being posed by AI, a threat to humanity. A sort of technological apocalypse. Are we approaching a technological apocalypse? A new age of human evolution? Where we'll see most diseases defeated? A growth in quote-unquote biological freedom? Cognitive freedom? The lifting of billions of people out of poverty to share in these new technologies? A renaissance of human rights? Liberal democracy? Can these be the noble goals of powerful AI? Some are using the term the singularity, where artificial general intelligence, AGI, would bring us a superhuman level intelligence, triggering rapid changes to society, most irreversible. Computer scientist and author Ray Kurzweil has been predicting since the 1990s that humans will one day merge with technology, often referred to as transhumanism. He said that we're not going to actually tell what comes from our own brains versus what comes from AI. It's all going to be embedded within ourselves, and it's going to make ourselves more intelligent, Kurzweil said. In his book, The Singularity is Nearer, when we merge with AI, Kurzweil doubles down on his predictions, saying that he believes that by 2045, we will have multiplied human intelligence a millionfold. He actually admits that he considers AI to be his religion. You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, reporting on the technological apocalypse, the alarms being raised by the uncontrolled, the unregulated rise in artificial intelligence. Are we on the verge of a technological apocalypse? Kurzweil says that within 10 years, we'll be able to live, quote-unquote, forever. We'll have our consciousness uploaded into computers, mainframes, hive minds. He's popularized the notion of, quote, the singularity, a time when, in the future, when man and machine will merge as one. Kurzweil says that our lives now are biological, but soon there will be a time when there will be no distinction between organic and technological, carbon and silicon. We're living in strange times indeed. Some call it the age of information, a noisy world saturated with content. Today, it's been widely recognize that you'll likely encounter more information than someone who lived hundreds of years ago would have seen in their entire lifetime, just today. The sheer amount of information available to us, stunning, historically unprecedented. Where in one day we can access and be exposed to more information than someone could have been exposed to in an entire lifetime 500 years ago. The age of information. One scholar named it the knowledge doubling curve, noticing that about until 1900, the year 1900, human knowledge doubled approximately every century. By the end of World War II, knowledge was doubling every 25 years. But today, the curve is becoming exponential, a tipping point of sorts. Nanotechnology knowledge is doubling every 2 years. Clinical knowledge every 18 months. And the average human knowledge is doubling every 13 months. According to IBM, the build-out of the Internet of Things will lead to the doubling of knowledge every 12 hours. Supercomputers. Humans. Supercomputers connecting with humans. Making our bodies into machines. Transhumanism, a net of sorts, where our intelligence will be multiplied many millions of times over. We'll become like gods. The option to live forever. Human beings shouldering the burden of death throughout history. But now, could they be on the verge of defeating death? Could it be that our bodies will no longer exist? Only our consciousness will remain. Could it be that not too distant time in the future, our consciousness will merge with computers? A hive mind. Genetically enhanced bodies of silicon and glass. Superman immortal humans that could upload themselves into computer banks. It almost sounds like a new religion, a spiritualized aspect of humanity. Science, religion, becoming indistinguishable. Science and religion adopting the same language. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 7, we read, "The eyes of both of them were opened." Genesis 3, verse 7. On last week's report, we discussed how naturalism, the materialist worldview, based on the scientific method and observable experiments, is in deep trouble. It is even dying. Materialism is dying and will probably be disproven soon, to be replaced by a science of spirituality, a supernaturalism. This is gaining traction in the scientific community. Could this be part of a global end times deception, a supernatural deception, where science merges with spirituality through these new technologies? They call them GRIN technologies, genomics, robotics, information technology, and nanotechnology. GRIN. Author of The End of History, Francis Fukuyama, writes in Second Thoughts, The Last Man in a Bottle, he writes, "Biotechnology will be able to accomplish what the radical ideologies of the past were unable to accomplish. Within the next couple of generations, we will have definitively finished human history, because we will have abolished human beings. And then a new post-human history will begin to emerge." Francis Fukuyama in Second Thoughts, The Last Man in a Bottle. Joel Garreau, in Radical Revolution, The Promise and Peril of Enhancing Our Minds, Our Bodies, and What It Means to Be Human, writes, "The ability to tinker with our genes offers the astounding promise and peril of immortality, which mythically has been the defining difference between gods and mortals. Offering the possibility of an even greater variety of breeds of humans than there are of dogs." Joel Garreau in Radical Revolution, The Promise and Peril of Enhancing Our Minds. I found it interesting, as I reviewed materials for this broadcast, that modern technology and the whole scientific agenda, the objectives of modern science are so similar to the philosophies of ancient alchemy. These occult sciences and traditions of ancient mystery schools. The desire to create artificial life, to play God, is nothing new. It's only that the vocabulary has changed. Now it's techno-utopians instead of medieval alchemy. Technology, like anything, could be used for good or for evil. So, of course, there are legitimate concerns of the evils of artificial intelligence, of transhumanism. Enormous power in the hands of humanity. You see, information is not like land or territory where fences or borders, boundaries can be marked. With data, with information, with knowledge, where, exactly where, are the boundaries? The future, more predictable than ever before in history. How will humans change? How will the human body change? Brain structure? Is humanity about to reinvent itself? I quote one transhumanist when he says, "We can know how to manipulate a law rather than understand it. We have learned how to manipulate ecological systems without understanding those ecological systems. In the future, we are more likely to change the world inside us, a sort of internal ecological collapse, manipulation. We're becoming the gods of planet Earth. Not metaphorically, but literally. We're conducting an enormous experiment on mankind." You're tuned into the Religious Liberty Report, this fourth week of August 2025, reporting on transhumanism, reporting on computer science, biology, reporting on technological apocalypse, a new post-human history, an evolution of humanity. Could it be that humanity's next goal on its agenda is to achieve immortality? A quasi-false divinity? Seeking to overcome age, even death itself? Death, once the unique specialty of priests, theologians, now transforming and becoming the domain of engineers, medicine, science, technology. In Revelation chapter 9, verse 6, we read, "And in those days, people will seek death and will not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them." Revelation 9, verse 6. Christian Duvet, a Nobel Prize-winning biochemist, predicted that our species may evolve into a human hive, a planetary superorganism, a society in which individuals would abandon their freedoms for the benefit of the hive, a swarm intelligence. So we read how scientists, futurists, are predicting that humans can achieve immortality in as little as a decade. Technology is so powerful, it will help humans live forever. Some scientists calling it the singularity, a theoretical point where artificial intelligence will surpass human intelligence and change the path of human evolution. Predictions of nanobots that will help achieve human immortality to a technology, a nanotechnology that will repair cells, tissues that deteriorate as the body ages. Some predicting that we'll have this technology by 2030. Others, skeptical. Technology so powerful that they will help humans live forever? Or is this just an old lie, disguised, wrapped in new clothes? An end times deception, the singularity, where they'll seek to create human-machine hybrids, synthesis, that will so supposedly make us better, more perfect, divine. Science, religion, being intertwined, speaking the same language. Science becoming spiritualized, and spirituality meeting science. The spirit of technology. And the eyes of both of them were opened. The elixir of life, the philosopher's stone, alchemy, a key to knowledge, hidden knowledge, the mysterious doctrines of the ancient mysteries, coming back again in supernatural form, beyond physics, the singularity. Thank you for tuning into the Religious Liberty Report. For me, an honor, a privilege to host this program. If you don't catch us on live Christian radio, please search for us on your favorite podcatcher. Search for the Religious Liberty Report. And now, a message from one of our friends and sponsors, South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Whether you're looking to lead in business, counsel with compassion, pastor a church, or just simply enrich your spiritual life. At South Florida Bible College, they have new programs designed just for you. Whether it be a master's in business administration, a master's in mental health counseling, or a doctor in ministry. South Florida Bible College Theological Seminary, offering undergraduate, graduate, and doctoral degrees. These degree programs are available online or on campus. Explore their diverse range of programs in ministry, theology, business, counseling, from associate to doctoral levels. Available both online and on campus. Fully accredited and ready to serve you. South Florida Bible College and Theological Seminary. Visit them online at sfbc.edu to learn more and apply today. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of his apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the Religious Liberty Report. Until next time, Alexander Alfano signing off. God bless you. And God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.